Morning. It's good to see everybody today. Thank you for leading that song, Rex. That's one of the archives for me. That's one that I remember growing up that we sang quite a bit, and I do like that one. It's got a good sentiment to it, and certainly good advice for us to not be moved, to always be steadfast in the work of the Lord. That'll be helpful in our thinking about our lesson today, and this will be very simple, basic lesson today about, can we recommend the Bible? And I hope that you know the answer to that already. If we ask that question, can I recommend the Bible? Well, let's think about that. Musical that I saw at Florida College, and those of you who don't know, Florida College is a school down in Tampa that a lot of Christians attend, and a lot of the students there have a good bit of Bible knowledge, and the faculty certainly does. And one of the plays, the musicals that I saw performed there on a couple of different occasions is Fiddler on the Roof. And that's, of course, about a Jewish person, a Jewish milkman named Tevye, and he's trying to raise five daughters and keep his family fed. And it, those of you that haven't seen it, you know, that it's a musical that many, many people have seen. It's been very popular over the years and still perform quite a bit. But Tevye constantly during the performance, you know, will say, and the good book says, and will come out with some phrase. And what was funny to me at Florida College, of all places, they knew that what he was saying wasn't in the good book, you know, because it's something has been missed, or it's just not said right, or maybe it's something from one of the what he considers the good Jewish books, but it's not in the Bible. And so, you know, but he always is referring to these references to the good book. The one quote says, a bird may love a fish, but where will they build a home together? And of course, that's played for laughs when you see the play. And so at Florida College, it's really played for laughs because they're laughing not just at what the quote is, but that's not in the good book. You know, and so, you know, you're thinking that. And when his wife is getting on to him, he says, as the good book says, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. And so, in other words, he says, give us the cure because we have the sickness already. And so he's always, during the show, directing these words toward the good book. And then the biggest laugh is one time he is directing his thoughts toward God. And he says, and as the good book says, and then he stops himself and says, why do I need to tell you what the good book says? And so it's his, the point that I want you to see in that is not just that it's, you know, played for laughs, but that in his mind, you know, whatever the book said was important to him. And he didn't always say it right and didn't always quote it right, but he was trying to live by the book or a book, and when he was living his life and things were coming up, he would remind his family, the good book says this, the good book says this. And so that's a natural thing in his life for that to be referenced. It was important to him, important in his thought, important in his conversation. And so do we treat the Scriptures that way? You know, we may not say, oh, the good book says this, or the Bible says this, in our everyday conversation, but maybe we should. So it's natural to recommend that people pay attention to the Word of God when it's something that's in your heart. So my question in this lesson is, are we this confident in the Word of God that we apply it to everything in our life? And we pray that. We pray to be guided by the Word of God. And we certainly need to know the Word of God. But can we recommend it to people? Do you recommend it to people in your conversation? I have found that I have done that more and more recently in my job. Not that I'm, you know, trying to, you know, bring it up and wedge it in an uncomfortable way in a conversation. But if something comes up and it reminds me of a parable, or reminds me of, this reminds me of the, this guy's kind of like the one talent man. He's got a lot of ability, but he's not using it. So if you use the scripture in an appropriate way, sometimes it'll make a conversation start going. Or what has happened quite often is when somebody does have a question about the scripture, when you've referenced it before, they might start asking you questions. And so think about those things as we go through this lesson today. But first of all, why do people not recommend the Bible? I think we have become convinced in our society today that, well, we just don't need to bring that up. It's not something that people want to hear, and we're convinced that we don't want to talk about the Bible in public. Now, we can talk about it here, when you come to Elliottsville, and we can talk about it in our homes, but we're not allowed to talk about it anywhere else. So, are we afraid to mention the Word of God in other places? No doubt people have different reasons, but let's just consider a few, and then we'll get into some scriptures in just a second. But I don't want to be old-fashioned. That we consider that to be old-fashioned, that the Bible is an old book. It's an old book with unpopular teachings that don't mesh well with modern society. That's the way some people think about it. So I'm not going to quote that. And so some people are so afraid of not fitting in that they don't want to bring the Bible into their conversation because people may think that they're out of touch. Or, the Bible is for little children. You may recall after 9/11, Alan Jackson wrote a song that's still popular today called Where Were You? And it's a good song. And part of it recommends a biblical principle to deal with the tragedy, to show love to one another. But the lyric says, "But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young." That's the lyric. "I remember it from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love." And my question is, why did He have to stretch all the way back to His childhood to remember that good thought? And that's the way some people think about the Word of God. I went to Sunday school. I went to Vacation Bible School. When I was young, I did this and this. I remember my teacher teaching me this and this. But when they become an adult, they've kind of left that behind. And that's a distant memory for them. That, that was a time in my life when I was worshiping God and learning something. And I can remember. Maybe that was Tevye's thing, is he could remember some stuff but didn't remember it all correctly. But so here Alan Jackson stretching back to his childhood to remember what the Bible said, because the Bible has great stories for kids. But what does it offer adults? Shouldn't have that attitude toward the Word of God. And maybe that's why some people don't think about the Word of God. When I was at Florida College, they had the different societies, and one of the societies in particular, they were labeled the Bible beaters. What does that mean? And do you want to be a part of that? Well, what a horrible thing to be labeled as somebody that references the Word of God. What a horrible... that should not be a detriment. But what that meant is these are the people that are not going to have any fun because they're too worried about what the Bible says. That's basically what that means. But we still hear that phrase today sometimes, don't we? When somebody is a religious person, when somebody references the Word of God and they're concerned about what it says, or they may bring it up in regular conversation, then they get labeled, talk to them. They're a walking Bible. They're a Bible beater. And so if you mention your Bible at all, your friends are going to mistake you for being that kind of person. And who among us wants to be mistaken for somebody that knows the Bible or being a Bible beater? Of course, you can hear the irony, I hope, in my voice, that you wouldn't want people to think of you in that way. And maybe that's the reason some don't recommend the Bible. Or the Bible is great for the assembly, but has no place in public life. We've already alluded to that, that we've so compartmentalized our lives. I don't mind reading it here and hearing about how helpful it is, but Monday through Friday, it's different. Monday through Friday, I'm a different person. I'm at work, and I don't need to intermingle these different parts of my life. I've got my weekend Randy, and I've got my weekday Randy. I've got my Wednesday night Randy. And so I'm going to compartmentalize, and everybody gets something different. Is that the way that it should be? I think you probably know that's not the way it should be, but that's the way, reason some people don't really apply the Word of God or recommend the Word of God, because they have compartmentalized so many things in their lives. And here's one that really comes up a lot today, is intelligent people don't believe the Bible. And you bring up the Bible, and somebody says, well, I don't believe in fairy tales. You ever heard that? I don't believe in fairy tales, and it's not something that intelligent people believe. If you want to believe in fairies and leprechauns, you go ahead. Or great Santa Claus up in the sky. And that's the way some people will, put down Christians. And so Christians will, I don't want to be thought of in that way. I don't want people to think I believe in fairy tales, so I'm just not going to say anything. Or the Bible does not have any real help to offer people. That this is a book for theologians, a book for preachers, but for everyday common people who are trying to make a living, raise a family, keep the grass cut, the Bible doesn't have much to say. And so why bring it up? It can't help anybody. Or finally, I just don't know the Bible well enough, and I would say number six has the problem of number seven, if they don't think the Bible can help. But we'll say more about that in a minute. But some people won't recommend the Bible because they just don't know what it says. They've never opened it, and what happens when you open your Bible and there's still pages stuck together? What does that show you? I hope there's none stuck in here. Be really bad if y'all could hear that. But pages that are stuck together means you've never even looked at that page before. It is still fresh from the factory, stuck together. They've never opened the Bible themselves for any kind of help or real guidance. And so, of course, if you have that kind of attitude, you would never veer off into recommending it to someone else. But let's look at what the Bible says about what it's good for. And I think this will be helpful to us. First of all, the answer is very well summed up in 2 Timothy when Paul is teaching Timothy and tells him in verse 14 of chapter 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So there's a lot of things that are said here, and you could do a whole lesson just on this verse. Number one, the Bible is the Word of God. So that's important to know that. It's the Word of God. So what is it good for? It's good for teaching. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for training. And so, there's a lot of things that it's good for. Ultimately, it explains to us everything that is good and right. And if that's true, if it's good for all of these things, why wouldn't you use it in conversations, with interactions, and recognizing that leads us to some conclusions that should help us to recommend it. Let's look at a few of these. Also in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so that helps us to put trust in the Word of God because of where it came from. It didn't come from man. It came from God. And that would be a reason I would recommend it. So let's think about history for a moment. Regarding history, the Bible is loaded with history, of course. And the Bible was given by the only one who has seen all of history. Because, you know, have we seen history? You know, when we go traveling, Jarrell likes to stop at antique stores. And, you know, some of the stuff I look at and say, I remember that. I remember those. I remember that record. I remember a reel-to-reel tape player because my dad had one of those. And so when we go through there, I see some things that I knew about and used, but there's other things that are much older than me. You know, there are some things, but there are some things that are in those stores that are much older than I am. But I haven't seen it all in person. I can read about those, but God has seen it all. And you think about the significance of that when you think about history. He is the only one who has seen all of history. He existed when all of history was being played out and recorded. The Bible, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." So he created man, he determined where man was going to live. He has seen, he's the one that's been sovereign over all history. So when you think about that, and we're not going to get into a lot of proofs for why the Bible is great on history, but we've talked about those things before, that when you see something in history, it squares up with the Bible. What other work can be more trustworthy? Why would you not recommend the Bible just based on history? Or what about science? Regarding science, the Bible, people would say, well, it's not a science book. It's not designed to teach us chemistry and biology or any field of science, but there are things that relate to science. It's given to us by the one who ordered our universe, as was read this morning by Sam. He read a portion of Genesis chapter 1 that teaches us how the earth came into place. The Bible was given to us by the one who established natural law. And so when we read Genesis 1, we can trust it. And when we see what the Word of God has to say, we know that it is true. When science tries to tell us something else, science is about, you know, proof. And there are a lot of things that people say are science when they're really not. They're just theories. But the Bible is something that can be used when we look and want to understand our world. And regarding serving God, John chapter 4, verse 24 says, "God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." How does that help us? Well, there's some in the world today that you don't have to look very far that'll tell you can serve God however you want. As long as you love Jesus, as long as you love Jesus, just do whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you're sincere. But what if God has communicated something in His Word about how it is that He wants to be worshipped? What if God has communicated something in His Word about how it is that we ought to serve Him and how we can worship Him in spirit and in truth? Well, if He's saying that I would need to worship in spirit, yeah, that's about how I feel, and that's about my attitude, but I have to worship Him in truth also. I better figure out what the truth is on that. How can we know the truth about worshiping God apart from His own teaching? And what about those that say, well, the Bible doesn't really help you in your everyday life? People struggle with all kinds of choices that, present themselves throughout their life. With their job, their marriage, their finances, their family, what are the best choices? And, how can you be a valuable person to your family or in your community? How can you live a life that's satisfying? So, this book, the Bible, has been given to us by the one who made us. He knows what we need. Most of the time, people have owner's manuals in their car or for other things. And if something goes wrong, maybe it's time that I check the manual. It's kind of a joke to us in our industry is, well, where did you find the answer? Well,
looked it up in the manual.
And by the time, after we've asked everybody else in the world, how do we fix this or that? What do we do with this problem? Hey, it's in the troubleshooting guide. Who knew that? Never read it before. Jesus says that we need to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Seek first His kingdom. So when we read that, we can trust that. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so we can know enough to speak. We can give wisdom about daily life to one another. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how Himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here, when Jesus tells us it's better to give than to receive, what do we do with that? Well, we live by that. We do that. We recommend that. When the Bible tells us to be honest, we do that. And so there's a lot of basic things that the Scriptures tells us. Why can't we recommend that to others? What about relationships? We've already talked about that just a little bit. One of the biggest struggles that people have is dealing with other people. You've heard people say, if it wasn't for all these customers, I could get some work done. I don't want to deal with people. Well, we have relationships with customers. We have relationships with family, with our brethren. And sometimes people don't get along like they could or should. How can these relationships be more successful? Well, I don't know. No, I do know, because I can look at it in the Word of God. Were there ever clashes and personality conflict? Well, yes, you can look at that in Paul's writings. He's dealing with people that are not getting along, and he's telling them how to get along better. So there's some advice there. So how do you work through things? You use the Scriptures to do that. Do you need to go out and buy Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? Everybody's read that. They still can't get along with anybody. We need to know God's advice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. We talked about that when we were studying Jonah just recently. How Jonah was angry at God. And God said, do you do well to be angry? And he says, yes, I do. No, you don't. And so, advice that should be taken to help us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I remember seeing this for the first time on the back of a ruler, because it said the golden rule. And it was on every ruler. You couldn't have that in schools today, I guess. can't have scripture printed on a ruler, but the golden rule was right there printed on the ruler. And such a basic concept, don't treat others the way you don't want to be treated. Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. And somebody said, well, the Word of God doesn't apply today, doesn't help me. It helps you in a lot of basic ways. And it may be advice that somebody else has given you and you didn't even know it was in the Bible. And that's where it came from. So, when you go to the bookstore and you see a lot of self-help books for relationships, we have a lot that will help us if we will read it and do it. And we can recommend that to others. Hey, Randy, what's the best self-help book you've ever read? Well, let's start with the one that you probably have on your phone. You can download for free. It's the Bible. What about regarding eternity and salvation? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And so, the Bible is the one book in this world that can truthfully tell you about helping you beyond this life. Number one, it's impossible to please Him without faith. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. And so you are told that you need faith. And how do you get that? Well, you know, Paul tells you in Romans. And so salvation comes through the Word of God and through the hearing of His Word and doing it. So it will help us in that regard as well. The question is, do we really believe in God? And do we really believe God? Those are two different things. Because somebody may say they believe in God, but they don't, well, they have a lot of doubts about whether or not the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in God, but I don't think this is His Word, or I think it's been corrupted. We should have, if we believe in God, we can believe in the ability of God to keep His Word preserved for us. I've never had a doubt about that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not be ashamed of Him or His gospel, confess Him before men. And when we use the Word of God, and we're talking about the Word of God, we are commending everything that it says. And many people may think that we are foolish in that regard. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to those who believe, to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Does Paul seem real concerned that, oh, well, Jews and Greeks, neither one of those groups are going to like me because, you know, they think that this is a stumbling block, or they think it's foolishness, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. No, he didn't have that attitude at all. They are the ones that are missing out if they do not accept Christ and Him crucified. And if you really believe God, then you will see the message as His power for salvation. And the illustration that I've heard over and over growing up is the person that has the cure for cancer and he doesn't share it. Or the cure for whatever disease it might be, that you've got something that will help people, but you won't give it to them. And if you really believe God and you really believe the power of the message and power of the gospel, then it's something that you would naturally want to share instead of, you know, making all, you know, kinds of excuses. So in conclusion here, I'd just like to bring up a few illustrations for how we might take advantage of opportunities. A coworker might say, "My wife and I got into an argument last night. We seem to be doing a lot of that lately. I'm really concerned about that." What might you say in response to that? "I know a good divorce lawyer." No, let your friend know how the Bible has helped you. And if you apply the principles that you see in the Word of God when it comes to marriage, or just, you know, dealing with other people, then show that to offer them help. You know, what's really helped me, or maybe there's things that I need to do in my marriage. You know, what I really need to apply to make my marriage stronger is this, this, and this. And these are principles that will help everybody. One of my, I use the term friend loosely when it comes to Facebook, because Jarell make me, because she says I'll accept anybody. But I have somebody that is a Facebook friend that's not in my close circle of friends, but she's somebody that I could probably have an influence on by applying this next point. Because she works for a Disney travel agency, and she always posts on Friday, "What are your plans for this weekend?" And people will post, you know, what they're planning on doing. And, you know, I don't, you know, I usually don't pay any attention to that. But what if I went on there? "Well, my plans are this, this, and Sunday we're going to worship God like we do every Sunday." And, you know, what if somebody read that and said, "Oh, you know, that's good that he does that." Or maybe there's questions that come up with that. And so there's just regular everyday opportunities that could come up in conversation, you know. And people are always asking other people, "Got big plans for the weekend?" Maybe mention, and maybe your big plan is not coming together, and maybe that's part of the problem. But if we think, you know, "Yes, I'm looking for, you know, I don't really have any, you know, big plans. Watch some football, but on Sunday we're going to gather together with the brethren, worship God." Why not say that? That's what you're going to do, isn't it? So, use the opportunity. What have you done today? Well, you know, what did you do this weekend? You know, tell them what you did. Tell them that Randy did an okay sermon, and you learned something in Bible class. Or somebody tells you, you know, "This person really makes me angry. They're always doing this or that." And you can let them know what the Bible says about dealing with anger. And don't be tempted to tell them all that the Bible says about how horrible that person is. But no, tell them, "Here's how you can deal with anger. Here's how you can help, you know, diffuse the situation." And so deal with problems. Speak to people with love and concern. And you know, whatever it is, the principle is there. What I'm saying is there are so many opportunities, if you listen carefully, that you can recommend the Bible. Remember what the title of the lesson was? Can you recommend the Bible? And if you're a Christian, you should absolutely be able to say, "Yes, I can do that, and I will do that. I'll do that every opportunity that I have." Again, in Fiddler on the Roof, the mentioning the good book was played for laughs. But, you know, in real life, you know, it's something that's very serious. and it's important. Can I recommend the Word of God? Can I speak about the Word of God? Am I doing that? Am I living by it? Am I being an example? Am I using opportunities to spread the Word to others? It is important, and I believe it is something that's not only helpful to others, it's certainly helpful to ourselves. When we do that, it helps us to be more concerned about others and to be more Christ-like to spread His news. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, if you haven't done that, if you have not named the name of Christ and been buried in baptism to rise a new life, to have that relationship with Him and a home in heaven, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Who among the Jesus standing for the fight, holding up their banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus in one busy way, working for the Master, giving Him the praise, earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause? Who will follow Jesus?
Pray. Let us pray. Our dearest Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again that we can be together to be able to share our thoughts in the Bible study and to be able to listen and study your word and realize that your word, your Bible that leads us is our pathway to salvation for ourselves and to others that we can teach. We pray that you can guide all of us to be more willing to share it with others. We pray, dear Father, that you can be with those that are ailing or having difficulties. We'd like to ask that you would please look over and help the doctors and the minor surgery that Michael Massey will be going through to guide them correctly, that this can be a way for him to have a smoother life with less complications. We pray, dear Father, that you can also help the leaders of this nation and other nations, that people stop trying to seek out and take over parts of the world, that Christianity can be able to thrive worldwide and guide the soldiers and other people that are in charge, that things will go well for Christians everywhere. We again thank you for your son Jesus, through whom we pray these things. Amen.